And if you wanted a title for my message today, it's simply this: influence. It's time to man up. Everybody say man up. You know what man up means? That means step forward, take your responsibility, do what you need to do. But Proverbs chapter 20, and we just want to look at one verse, verse 7, Proverbs 20, verse 7. And it says this: a just man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Now, this verse speaks volumes, and I'm the kind of person that likes to explore the word and break it down, if you will, so that you can understand what's being said. But a just man walks in his integrity. Integrity is a mathematical term, integer. It simply means a whole number. Integrity refers to somebody who is complete. When someone has a lack of integrity, that simply means there's something missing. You ever seen somebody who's a thief? There's something missing in their life. You ever seen somebody who's addicted to chemicals? There's something missing in their life. Have you ever seen somebody who's sexually promiscuous? There is something missing in their life, a lack of integrity. But the Word teaches us that a just man walks in his integrity. He's complete. And because he's complete, his children are blessed after him. Now, that speaks of legacy. You know what a legacy is? A legacy is something that's passed down from generation to generation. It literally refers to something handed down from an ancestor or a predecessor from the past. Oftentimes it refers to property that's left in somebody's will, but more often than not, it is spiritual things that are passed down from generation to generation. Why is this important? We're celebrating Father's Day today. Here's something that I recently realized. I've always known it's important, but I did a little study just this week, and you know what I found? In the Old and New Testament, there are over 1,500 references to the word father, fathers, or fatherhood. 1,500. Now, there are 66 books in the Bible. If you divide 1,500 by 66, that's about 23 references per book. Now, keep in mind, the Bible's progressive revelation. We understand in the New Testament that God is our Father. But in the Old Testament, they didn't refer to Him as Father because they were servants of God. Their covenant was different. They weren't born again alive unto God, so they couldn't call Him Father. Do you remember how much trouble Jesus got in when He referred to God, Jehovah, as His Father? They wanted to stone Him to death because you don't do that. You can't call God your Father. They didn't understand what was about to happen through His redemptive work. But 1,500 references in the Old and New Testament to fatherhood. That must mean that fatherhood is important in the eyes of God. Now, we always celebrate Mother's Day. We just did last month. Mothers are important. Mothers play a vital role in all of our lives. You ain't getting here without a mama. Okay? Without a mama, you ain't getting here. But you know how many times mothers or motherhood or mother is referenced in the Old and New Testament? Anybody want to venture a guess? Right around 299 times. 299, let's round up, call it 300 references to mothers in the Bible. But over 1,500 references to father. There's something we need to understand about fatherhood, leaving a legacy. A just man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. We're going to buzz through this quickly, all right? We're going to have to do the speed study today. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. We're going to look at three verses. We'll start with verse 17. Watch this. This is something the Lord said about Abraham. Genesis 18:17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Have you ever wondered why God picked this guy from Ur of the Chaldees, whose ancestors worshipped the moon? You know why God picked Abraham? Because he knew him that he would teach his children, that he would leave a legacy with his descendants. And Abraham followed through. And he did it to such a degree that God identified himself with Abraham and his family. God is a God of families. And so time and time and time again, you find in the Old Testament this statement, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He identified with this man and the legacy that he left with his children. Abraham left them a legacy of faith. He left them a legacy of knowing God. So what did Abraham do in essence? Influence. He influenced his children. He influenced his grandchildren. And because of his model of faith, he influenced you and he influenced me. Abraham set the die, cast the die, set the pattern for redemption. The only way to get into the family of God is do just what Abraham did. Believe. He's the one who set the pattern. And so because of his influence, you and I and all families of the earth are blessed. Influence. Influence can go either way. You can influence people for good and for God. You can also influence people for evil. Turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 11, quickly. I want you to see this. Jeremiah 11. Jeremiah 11. And we're going to look at a few verses, beginning with verse 9. I want you to see this. This is so plain. It just leaps out at me whenever I look at the Scripture. Jeremiah 11. We'll begin with verse 9. Follow along with me. Notice what it says. "And the Lord said to me, 'A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back,'" notice this expression, "'to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers.'" Notice verse 11. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not listen to them." That's a pretty harsh statement. God says there's a conspiracy. I have a problem with the men of Judah, because they have followed after the iniquities of their forefathers' influence. Their forefathers wouldn't listen to the word, and so they're following their pattern. We have to understand this and realize that as men, we cast a big shadow and we influence generations. Your sons and your daughters are watching you, man. I can't say it any plainer than that. And you're casting a big shadow. You're leaving a big footprint. Now, I thank God that I had a godly grandfather who was a tremendous influence in my life. Because, Lord have mercy, if I had followed, as much as I love him with all my heart and would never disrespect him, but if I had followed the pattern of my father, I wouldn't be here today. I'm not saying I wouldn't be on the planet, but I wouldn't be doing this. Are you with me? A good weekend for my daddy when he was young was, should I say this? I've said it before. A fun weekend for my dad was to party hard and long, get drunk, fight, and get locked up. Going to jail was just icing on the cake for my dad. Listen, and he was a cop. He loved to drink. He loved to fight. And he was a cop. Well, you know, when you're 19, 20, 21 years old, you think you can whip the world. But when you get to be 50, 60 years old, you ought to know better than that. Thank God he grew up and wised up and quit doing that mess, because you don't live long doing those kind of things. Are you with me? But I'm thankful that I didn't follow the pattern of my father. Now, the reason I'm here today is not because of Daddy. I'm here today because of Granddaddy. William Mills Jr., godly man, deacon in his church, Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church, for over 50 years. Married to my grandmother, Sarah Mills. She was a Purdue. For 73 years before he went to be with the Lord. 70. Could you imagine being married to the same woman for 73 years? Some of y'all sweating it with 10. I'm just telling you. 73 years. And I learned a lot from my grandfather. He taught me how to treat a wife. He taught me what not to do. I'd grown up seeing what not to do. But my grandfather took the time to set me down. And he used to call me Davy. He said, Davy, he said, I've been married. And at the time we had this conversation, it was 48 years. He said, I've been married to your grandmama for 48 years. And 48 years, I've never put a hand on that woman. I thought, well, if Grandpap could do it for 48 years, that must be the right thing to do. Are you with me? And I learned so much from his life and what he did. He cast a big shadow. Influence can go either way. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're hurrying, but I got to buzz through this. I want to get you all out of here before 1 o'clock. Amen? So we got plenty of time. We'll make it in plenty of time. I almost said record time, but I think my record is like 19 minutes or 12 minutes for a sermon. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that today. Ephesians chapter 6, influence. We are instructed in the New Testament as fathers how to conduct ourselves. And I don't have time to go into all of the ramification. I mean, really, 1,500 references to fathers in the Bible. We could teach this for 6 weeks and just barely scratch the surface. But you're going to have to get this in 35 minutes, all right? Ephesians chapter 6, notice verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In other words, it was the first commandment that God gave that had a promise attached to it. That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Notice verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, there are certain things that the Bible tells us to do that we need to just do. Bring your children up in the nurture. The word nurture simply means upbringing, care, and training of the Lord. That's a father's responsibility. Are you with me? And admonition. What is admonition? The word admonish means to correct a fault. But more specifically, it means to correct a fault in a gentle way. So you have to be careful how you correct. You have to be careful how you admonish. You're not going to be very successful as a parent if you rule your home with a quote-unquote iron fist. To warn a person, to correct a fault, to criticize in a gentle way. And of course, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So all of these things talk about the responsibilities of parents, but specifically fathers. Fathers have been graced for influence. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Bill, all my kids are grown. I don't have any kids at home. Well, you have grandchildren. You have nephews and nieces. You have friends and neighbors. You still cast a big shadow. People are watching you, especially when you claim to be a Christian. Are you with me? Now, if you just willy-nilly letting it all hang out and you don't care, you're going to hell in a handbasket, people are watching you because they know you're going to crash. They're just waiting for the crash. They just want to be there when you go down so they can see what's left. Are you with me? But we have an obligation. And I don't know why in our culture we have such a distorted view of what fatherhood is. Now, here's something you need to remember. If you don't have an accurate understanding of how to be a good father, then your children are not going to have an accurate understanding of God. Because their impression of God runs through the prism of your life. They view God based on what you do. Are you with me? That's why God chose Abraham, because he knew he would reflect the right thing, teach the right thing, do the right thing. He said, "For I know him, that he'll command his children after him." Now, that speaks volumes. Fatherhood is so important. Influence. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I know we're moving kind of quick, but I want to get this all in. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's something that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, because there were people coming in questioning his authority. He had established this church, if you will, and had poured his heart and life into it. And he said something that sort of gives us a little picture of what fatherhood is. Notice what he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 4, 14. He said this, "I do not write this to shame you, but to warn and counsel you as my beloved children. After all, though you should have 10,000 teachers, guides to direct you in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ through the glad tidings," or the gospel. Notice the next verse. "So I urge and implore you, be imitators of me." Now, in the King James New Testament, it says, be followers. Well, the word followers is the Greek word memetes. It's the word root word from which we get the word mimic. And it literally means to copy the actions, the mannerisms, even the patterns of speech. And it means to mimic. And so Paul is writing to this church in Corinth and telling them, you have a lot of teachers in Christ, but you have one Father. I brought you into the gospel. You need to imitate me. And you know what children do in life? They grow up imitating their fathers. Whether you influence them for good or influence them for evil, they will imitate you. Now, you might think, well, they're small, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old. They don't really know what's going on. Oh, please. Are you kidding me? Your children are not stupid. They're learning every day by what they see and what they hear in you. Are you with me? You're influencing them one way or another. I mean, I remember, I have a pretty vivid memory. I don't remember a lot of things when I was really young, but I can remember things. My dad was in the military, and I was talking with Val's brother, Andre, because he was in the Air Force just like my dad, and they were both stationed in Greece. Andre was actually off the coast on, I think he was stationed on Cyprus, but we actually lived in Athens. And I remember growing up in Athens and seeing things and wondering, how come that's going on? How come mama's crying in the bathroom? How come, you know, I'm seeing all this stuff. It was making an impression on me. Now, daddy might have thought I was stupid, didn't know what was going on, but I soon figured it out. Are you with me? I still remember my nanny. I had a Greek nanny named Marika. And she used to watch me during the day. Precious, precious woman, you know. She took care of me, so I love the gal. All right, influence can go either way. You can influence people for good or influence people for evil. Now, here's the great thing. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to show you about how powerful your shadow is, how big your footprint is, and how lasting your legacy can be. Remember, legacy is something that's passed down or handed down from an ancestor or predecessor or something from the past. 2 Timothy chapter 1, And I'm going to read this out of the King James. Everybody there? If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, notice this expression, from my forefathers with a good conscience. Now, I used to read this passage and I thought, that's strange. How can you serve God from your ancestors? Doesn't make sense. You weren't born yet. But you'll find this is not a very good translation. The word from is the Greek word apo, A-P-O, which literally means because of. So what Paul was writing to Timothy was simply this: I serve God today with a pure conscience because of my ancestors. More specifically, probably a grandfather or a father. In other words, I'm serving God today and I have a pure conscience because of the influence of a man, my father or my grandfather. Then he goes on to write this about Timothy. Notice the rest of this passage. Whom I serve because of my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Notice verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned or the sincere faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandma Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's in you also. So Paul recognized that Timothy had influence cast upon him, not from his father, but from his mother. And that influence didn't begin with mama, it began with grandmama. And so I don't care who you are in life, you cast a big shadow. Your influence will be felt for generations, and it can go either way. Are you with me? And so Paul recognized there was a heritage of faith in your mama and a heritage of faith in your grandmama, and that same faith is now in you. Influence. Influence is powerful. Now, let's wrap this up. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Remember the title of my message today? Influence. It's time to man up. We must realize that we cast a big shadow, especially if you have children. Now, I could digress and talk about a lot of things. You know, just because you're able to reproduce and plant seed and some woman's able to bear children, that doesn't make you a father. You may be a father in the legal sense. Are you with me? But we all know fathers who don't take their responsibility seriously. That's one thing that used to bother me when I was growing up. You know, I had all the buddies, you know, and friends, and I knew guys in town. You got to understand, I grew up in a little small coal mining town. I mean, we knew everybody. We knew everybody's grandmama. We knew their uncle. We knew their cousins. We thought we knew everything about them. We really didn't. But there were certain people in our town. One guy in particular, I won't call his proper name, but his nickname was Raghead. Raghead drove an old blue Buick, and Raghead was quite the guy with the ladies. Raghead had a girlfriend in our town. This woman had 13 kids. 13. Never been married. That was an extreme case. I'm like, good Lord. And you know what? Raghead was broke. You try taking care of 13 kids, you ain't doing right. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that road today. Suffice it to say, if you have children, take care of them. Are you with me? God's going to hold you responsible for that. Take care of your kids. You know, and I used to see these kids running around all raggedy and dirty and, you know, Raghead driving his nice Buicks. So there's something wrong here. And I realized just at 12 years old, when I get married, I'm taking care of my kids. I will go without before my kids suffer. And many of you have the same heart. I know that. I will go without before I see my kids suffer. I will go without before I see my wife suffer. See, there's something about the love of Jesus in the heart of a man that causes you to esteem others better than yourself. I'll go hungry before my wife goes without. I'll go hungry before my children go without. Amen? Now, if some of you ladies hooked up with guys who don't have the same attitude, well, just learn from your mistake. Do better. Amen? You can do better. I have a good friend in Missouri who just went through a terrible, terrible time. I'm not going to get too specific, but we're good friends. And I told her, you can just count me like a big brother. You're not sure about a guy, you call me. I'll be your big brother. So she did. She called me about a guy, wanted to take her out. And he had sent her a text message. Oh, I'm getting too specific here. He sent her a text message. I said, girl, you didn't even have to call me. You know to leave this knucklehead alone. You didn't even have to call me. You know better than this. He's looking for one thing, sex. And he's transmitting that. He's letting you know right up front, here's what I'm looking for, baby. And I told her, you can do better. You can do better than this. Robin Roberts has an old expression, and I know where he got it. He said, you lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. Some of y'all will get that when you get home. Oh, I figured that out. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. Are you there? Talk about influence. Time to man up. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read quite a bit of this, but I want you to follow along with me. This is something that Solomon learned from his father, David. Notice verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine or teaching. Don't forsake my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget it, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you embrace her. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Hear, O son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. Now here, Solomon learned these things from his father. And he's sharing them with future generations. Listen, men, I don't care what kind of education you may have or what you do in life. It's your responsibility to teach your kids, to love your kids. You know, yesterday was my daughter's birthday. We had a big birthday party for her at her cousin's house. And my son and his wife, Jen, drove all the way up from Pittsburgh just to come to this birthday party. And so I was watching my boy. Now, he's been married now for what, 2 months? And I'm watching him. He's the happiest I've ever seen him. I mean, he just grinning from ear to ear. This boy, I'm telling you, he's 32 years old. He's still my boy. And so I watched him. There was a trampoline with this big net around it. And he got in there with a couple little kids. And he's jumping up and down and throwing the kids down and pushing them around. His wife is watching him. And I'm watching him. And he's just grinning from ear to ear. And I thought, look at him. He loves kids. So I know they're coming soon. They're coming soon. His wife's already talking about, I wonder what our kids going to look like. I said, yeah, man. And he was in there having such a good time. And you know what I thought of? I flashed back 30 years. That was me playing with him. See? And he loves kids because I loved him. That little boy was attached to my hip. Every place I went, he was right there. And when he could walk, he was right there. You with me? You know, when he was first in his early development stages, I thought he had an issue because he didn't talk. You know, he's like a year old, year and a half, and he's not saying much. And I'm thinking, man, is there a problem? And Peg and I are starting to think that we need to take him to a specialist. I mean, so, well, he was thinking, processing everything that we said to him. But when he started talking, good Lord, the kid never shut up. Daddy, how come this? Daddy, daddy, how come? Daddy, 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 daddy. And I'd be driving down the road, daddy, how come this? And daddy, how come? I'm like, oh, Lord. And so I answered his questions. I always talked to him like he was an adult, never like a child. I spoke to him like he was peer with me. He wasn't. But I didn't do this, ooh, goo, 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 goo. No, I didn't do that. I talked to him so he would understand what I was saying. And I guess it took him a while to catch on, but he got it. And so, I mean, even until he was 10 years old. Now listen, please don't be offended by this, but this is what fathers have to do from time to time. I remember we moved back to Erie, we lived on Lighthouse Street, and we lived in some townhouses there, and there was a parking lot with a basketball court in it. And I remember he was out there playing or riding his bike, and one of the kids from the neighborhood, he went to Edison School at the time, came over there. And so while he's riding his bike, I'm shooting hoops, and DJ says, "Hey, Dad, what's a period?" I said, "Oh, we've gotten to this now." I said, "That's a thing you put at the end of the sentence." He said, "No, Dad, not that kind of period." Well, I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. But you know what? I'm his father. If I don't teach him, somebody else is. And it could be the kid on the corner who don't know what he's talking about. So you got to man up. Got to man up. You got to have those frank discussions with your kids. And your grandkids. Now, don't think, see, some of you guys are my age or older, don't think that, thank God I don't have to do that, my kids are grown. You got grandkids. You better have that conversation with your grandkids. And don't be bashful about it. Man up. Do what you're supposed to do. Are you with me? Maybe there's not a man in your household. Grandmama, you better lay it out. Remember, Timothy was influenced by his mother and his grandmother. Don't hold back. If you don't teach him, somebody else will, and it might not be the right thing. So I told him what a period was. And he's like, "Oh, okay." I'm like, "Boy, I'm glad that's over." Then, the same day, at the same time, a few minutes later, one of his friends came over and said, he sees me shooting hoops and DJ's riding around. He said, "Who's that?" DJ says, "Oh, that's my dad." And the boy said this, and it broke my heart. He said, "Oh, you mean he lives with you?" And DJ looked at him like, "Yeah, don't all dads live with their children?" Well, we know they don't. Almost broke my heart, because to that boy it was foreign. It was strange. It was different. "You mean your daddy lives with you?" "Yeah, that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to marry your mama, and then the kids come, and then he does his thing and teaches and trains them." Amen? I know we live in a culture that's upside down, but I'm just teaching you the truth. Amen. Are you with me? Now, we're back in Proverbs chapter 4. Here's what I want to show you, and then I'm almost done. All right? Talking about wisdom and honor. This is something Solomon learned from his father, and he's sharing it for future generations. Notice verse 10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you go, your steps shall not be straightened, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is your life." I want to focus in on verse 11. "I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths." As a father, we influence either positively, godly, or negatively. And it's not just in the areas of don't steal and don't lie and this stuff. They watch everything about you. You need to teach them how to handle money. You need to teach them how to treat a woman. You need to teach them how to handle basic responsibilities. If it's not your kids, then you need to teach your grandkids. You need to teach them how to wear a belt. Yes, amen, that's right. Instead of walking around with the drawers around their buttocks. I drive down the road all the time. See, I'm kind of a... Understand the context in which I'm speaking. I'm kind of a prankster, wild and crazy guy. And I drive down the street and I see these boys with their butt hanging out. I want to yell out the window so bad. fact, I did one time. Said, boy, pull your drawers up. Don't nobody want to see your butt. He looked at me like, what? Now, I used to do stuff like that. Now, listen, I'm going to share this. Please don't judge me based on this. I was 19 years old, and I shouldn't have done it. But that's the kind of guy I am. I roll down the window, yell at people. I'll tell you when I quit doing it. Should I tell this? I'm going to tell it. I'm 19 years old. My buddy, Henry Bishop, who now works for the Centers for Disease Control down in Miami, Florida, he and I were buddies. And so he went to the Air Force. I went to college. Little conservative Henry, you know, we called him the Bean. He did the weather report on the school intercom every morning. Real brainiac, you know. He goes into the Air Force. He comes back. Now he's got the brim all broke down. He's driving a white Grand Prix with gangster white walls and a Rolls Royce front end. And he wanted to hang with me because his dad ruled with an iron fist and Henry didn't like staying around the house. So Henry and I would go out. And I remember one time, now keep in mind, I wasn't a drinker. I didn't drink alcohol. I didn't do drugs. And we just go out, play pool or do whatever. We're driving through Uniontown, Pennsylvania. Lord have mercy. I'm going to tell this story and somebody's going to get mad at me. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And there was a woman standing on the corner with a big blonde wig. And I'm in the passenger seat of this white Grand Prix. And so, the prankster that I am, I yelled out the window, hey baby, what's happening? Light turned green, we cruise on through. She ran around the corner and beat us to the next light. And I'm just sitting there chilling. And this woman came over to my door and tried to get in the car. And when I looked, I realized it's not a gal, it's a guy. And he's got these, woo, like it was his, scared the daylights out of me. Big muscles on his neck, hair all up his neck. I'm like, oh, God. Scared me so bad. I'm yelling at Henry, run the light, run the light. Then the guy thought I was messing with him, teased him. That's all right, I'm going to kill you. I'm like, oh, God, get out of here. God, I'm yelling and screaming. You know the door wasn't locked, he couldn't get in? Foolish. God protected me. I was so scared I drove to Uniontown the back way for the next 2 weeks. Scared me, man. That's when I quit yelling at folk out the window. Right? Okay, everybody say we love Pastor Bill. All right, good. Thanks. I was 19 years old and stupid. Don't do that. Amen. I don't know why I told you that story. Anyway, notice verse 11. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. This is very important. You've got to get this. Influence. How is influence transferred? By precept and by example. David told Solomon, I have taught you in the right way. I have led you in the right path. And so your influence is established by what you teach and by what you do. Because future generations will follow the pattern that you established. Not only what you said, but what you did. Now, here's what I want you to remember today, if you don't remember anything else. You can't teach what you don't know. And you can't lead where you won't go. So as men and as fathers, we need to man up. We influence people negatively or for God with everything that we do. But when we understand this and realize how big our shadow is and how important fatherhood is to God, man, I'm telling you, there's no limit to the impact that we can have on future generations. And see, a lot of times we make the mistake of thinking, well, you know, I turn a wrench, or I teach at school, or I drive a bus. You know, how am I going to influence anybody? You got family and they're watching you, man. They are watching you. You never have to teach from a pulpit. You never have to be on the radio. You never have to write a book. But your influence is large. And so when you understand that, you can influence people who in future generations can literally change the world. Not because you had a PhD in engineering or economics, but because you were a godly influence on their life. There's one other woman who really had a big impact on me, and I didn't know it until maybe 10, 15 years ago. My sister sent me a photo of my great-grandmother, Mariah Mills Knowles. Now, I knew great-grandma when I was a little boy. She used to scare me because she was really, really wrinkly, you know what I mean? She spent a lot of time out in the sun. But my great-grandmother, Mariah Mills Knowles, died when she was 107. She was born the year the Civil War started, 1861, died in 1968. And she had six children, including my grandfather. Now, what I didn't know, and I got this picture of my great-grandmother in this real ornate black dress with her hair all done up, and that was the youngest I had ever seen her in a photo. And it had Mariah Mills Knowles, and you'll like this, First Mother of the Church. I'm like, I didn't know that. My great-grandmama was the first mother of the church in that little town. I had no idea. That's probably why her son, my grandfather, was so faithful. And that's why he influenced me for good. But now I can say it wasn't just because of my grandfather. It's probably because of great-grandma. Influence. She cast a big shadow. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to pray, and then we're going to have communion.